This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Are you looking for a place for all things horror and don't know where to go?
Well, you've came to the right place, my friend. We are the Graveyard Club podcast. For all your horror needs, visit us on YouTube and Spotify, and you can follow us over on Instagram at the Graveyard Club Pod. See you there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to World's Shocking Stories. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, in this roller coaster we call life, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
I did that intro about three times because this is like my first time doing this.
And you made fun of me last time.
I did. So before we start, we just want to say that our heart goes out to the families that lost their lives in the submarine going towards the Titanic.
Yeah,
it just got confirmed that it imploded. Yeah. So yeah, it's probably a little bit late for everybody. Everybody knows this already, but we just want to say our hearts go out to the families. Mm-hmm. And it's a tragic way to lose your life.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah, that is.
It's a horrible way to go.
It is. Like, it's, you're underwater with nobody around you.
But they said that it happened like so fast. They didn't even know that it happened.
Yeah, exactly. I guess they just found debris from it too.
Yeah, so. I was hoping that they were going to be able to find them, that they were going to be able to, because they sent another little robot thing down there.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that they were able to attach a cable or something to their submersible and tow it up.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, but nothing. So anyway, I think that's all we have to say before this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get right into it.
I want to dedicate this one to our girl. I don't want to say her name, but she's going through some hard times right now.
Yeah, a friend of ours went through some troubles lately, so.
Yeah.
And she listens to this?
She does. So
if you know who you're talking about, you know.
Yeah, we love you.
And hopefully you get through this.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's it.
Yeah.
We did change our Patreon up a little bit. We just got rid of our two tiers. Mm-hmm. We're going to go back on a little bit because with this video recording now on YouTube, the editing takes a lot longer. So put another extra episode out every month is a little bit tough already.
But we are revamping it. We're going to try something new, probably put little clips out there.
Yeah, the next few months we'll
take bloopers.
The next few months we're going to change it up a little bit. So we got rid of two tiers, but yeah. We've got the one tier up right now, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, ready?
Yep.
So, this one, we're going to be talking about Dorothy Stratton.
Okay, this is the one that you've been holding back on me and not telling me anything.
You have no idea what this is about.
All I know is she's an actress or something?
She was, yes. It's kind of more of a, she was more into the public eye towards Playboy.
I would not know
her. No. Then. And then more in the 70s as well. This has happened in the 70s. So you ready?
I'm just thinking of that mustache ride.
Anybody want a mustache ride? I do. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
So while you're at work, do you ever dream that someone will notice you and they'll tell you that they can make your dreams come true with fame and fortune? That's exactly what happened to Dorothy Stratton in 1977. In British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, this is BC.
Kind of, yes and no. She's from BC.
Okay.
But unfortunately, she did not have a happily ever after. There are some events that happened to this beautiful young woman who had so much going for her. And this is about the story of her Rise and Her Fall from Fame in Hollywood, California.
So she's from BC and went down south.
She did. She had
more ways than one.
She had a rise and fall, but she was also in her short time of being in like the public eye, she participated in a lot of films in only about a year's time. So she was like, she was rising.
But these films are from the 70s though, right? So
yeah, but she was actually with big actors, which you will see.
Oh, okay.
There are some actors that, yeah, they're known today. And she was only doing this for a year, so she was rising very fast.
Okay.
Dorothy Ruth Hoogstraten. I don't know how to spell that because they're from Hoogs. It's H-O-O-G. Hoogstraten.
Hoogstraten.
Yeah, they're not from here.
Sounds like a German name.
They're immigrants. They're from the Netherlands.
Okay.
So she was born on February 28th, 1960 in Grace Maternity Hospital in Vancouver, British Columbia. But her parents, Simon and Nellie, they were immigrants from the Netherlands.
Oh, there we go.
So yeah. That's kind of the Hoogstraten.
Yeah.
So she was the eldest of three children. Her younger brother, John Arthur, was born in 1961. And her youngest, Louise, was born in May in 1968.
Okay.
So I couldn't find much about her childhood because she wasn't from like, you know, the public eye from growing up.
Right.
And also too, immigrant families, they don't keep like, you know, the biggest... You know, their early lives are hard to come by. Let's just say that.
Well, let's just say that you go and murder somebody. Just hypothetically, go with me on this journey. But if somebody wants to look into your past, they're not going to really find much.
No, they're not. Not for your childhood.
No.
So I couldn't find much about her childhood, but I would assume it's very normal because from an immigrant background, they just wanted to like work hard. And, you know, provide the American dream or Canadian dream for their children.
Right.
So that was just to say that they wanted a better life for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not too, like, thrilling. Like, they probably just did, you know, vacations here and there, like, you know, short ones. And also, too, they lived in Vancouver. It's probably pretty expensive at the time. I think it was Coquitlam.
Oh, Port Coquitlam.
I think it was there. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure that's where it was. But in Dorothy's teenage years, she wanted to help out the family and earn money. So she decided to take a job at the local Dairy Queen.
Oh, Brayden wanted Dairy Queen.
The other night, yeah.
Yeah, after golfing.
Yeah. So at this time, she met a man named Paul Snyder, who was a local promoter for car and motorcycle shows, and he was also a pimp on the side.
That's like the last episode we did, Ned Schneider.
Yeah, so he was a promoter and a local pimp. So.
Nice.
So he
outstanding job.
Yeah. So it was said that he had a seedy past with some criminal charges against him, but nothing was ever like sticking to him.
I'm not even going to go there.
Well, things were sticky in his lifestyle. So he grew up in Vancouver's East End, which at the time was very rough. His parents divorced when he was young. So he dropped out of high school in the seventh grade to fend for himself. So pretty young to fend for himself. So growing up, he was skinny, so he started to bulk up, and that's when he started to catch the eyes of the ladies. He was bulking. Like, I was a skinny kid as well. Not anymore. I bulked up, too. But, I mean... That
creatine, right?
I did do creatine for a long time, and yeah. It bulked up, but then you off creatine, and it bulks up in another area.
But you got to keep working out.
I know, and I stopped.
Yeah.
So when he was out with a friend on the East Vancouver's Dairy Queen, he noticed a beautiful young woman at the behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was only 17 at the time. So she was kind of young.
Right.
But he saw money signs in his eyes. And he thought that she was his ticket to the big time.
Who does that? You see somebody pretty and you're like, oh, she's going to make me money.
And you know the weirdest thing about this? This is where, like, this is the same time, like, no, not the same time. This is how Pamela Anderson got seen. She was at a BC Lions game.
Oh, really?
Yes. And somebody approached her, said that she was beautiful, and that's it. She became famous. She was in Baywatch, all that kind of stuff. This is kind of the same thing. It's funny, too, because that was in Vancouver, and this is Vancouver as well.
So go to Vancouver if you want to hit it big.
Apparently. He then approached her and promised her the world. And he said that he could make her famous.
Mm-hmm.
So... It didn't take long for the older Paul Snyder, who was 26 at the time, to start grooming the young 17-year-old. And not long after that, they began dating.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was grooming her. Like, he was, like, taking her out and, you know, showing her fancy things and, you know, grooming her to be his bride. So Paul would woo her with topaz and diamond rings, as well as a fancy home-cooked meal, like, all the time. You took, like, you know, woo her with fancy home-cooked meals.
Yeah.
Because she was also from an immigrant family as well, so they probably didn't have a lot of that, like, elegant stuff.
Was topaz her birth?
I don't know. Yeah. She was born in February. Weird. Yeah. And he also, you know, gave, like, showed her fine wine. Like, he showed her the finer things in life. And for a 17-year-old, when you're seeing this stuff, is somebody showing you that attention, you're like, yeah, this is what I like. Cause I like fine, you know, meals and fine wine. So
everyone likes to be spoiled.
And he was spoiling her. So he must have had a ton of charm, because he convinced Dorothy to pose nude so he could photograph her professionally.
And she was still 17.
She was 17 at the time. But this is also in 1977 too, right? So it's a little bit different time.
Still.
I know, it's gross. But at the time, it happened. You still
have morals even in the 70s.
Yeah. So you know what he did with those pictures?
No.
He took them to Playboy for their consideration to pose as a model.
So, Hugh Hefner.
He pretty much showed it right to Hugh Hefner himself. So this would actually work, because she appeared in Playboy as Playmate of the Month in the August issue in 1979. So if you've done the math, right, 1979, she was 19 years old at this time.
Right.
And in Canada, that's the legal age.
Right.
But US, you need to be 21.
21, yeah.
Yep. But there was a way around it. You can get a parental signature.
Her parents signed for this?
Her mother signed for it.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I think it was that she saw that she could make it, you know, famous by doing this at a young age, right? She was 19, so it's legal in Canada. So, I mean, you want to wait the 2 years to do it in the States, or just...
I wouldn't want my child doing that. I don't care how much money you're going to make. I wouldn't want my child to go naked to make money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, at this time, Dorothy then changed her name to Stratton instead of that Hugh Stratton.
Oh, yeah.
Just because she moved, they finally moved to Los Angeles.
Right.
So you don't want to have that immigrant name, right? You want to kind of have your stage name. Everybody changes their names, right? When they go down to Hollywood. Holly Weird. Yeah, it's Holly Weird for sure. So Dorothy was then chosen as a finalist for the 25th anniversary Great Playmate Hunt. So at this time, her career was skyrocketing from Dairy Queen to Playmate of the Month. That's a short time, too. Like, this is all happening like a whirlwind.
I'm just thinking about the editing. Like, am I going to be putting nudes on this video? Oh, my Lord.
I'm pretty sure YouTube will take those down.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have to blur things out.
So this is now where Dorothy became a Playmate bunny. And Hugh Hefner, the head of the honcho of Playboy, thought that Dorothy could make a crossover and become an actress. So he seeing things in her, thinking that she's not just like the Playmate bunny, she actually could become famous as an actress, which would increase his brand, because he was trying to do that to all of his bunnies.
Is that what makes you a bunny? Like, what makes you a bunny?
I don't know. I think you just like, hey, I want you, you know, as a bunny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they actually wear bunny hats? Like,
I think I've seen some with the tails.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's seen pictures, but I don't know. I don't know much about it.
I think he's lying.
I don't. So Dorothy would be featured in episodes of the television series of Buck Rogers and Fantasy Island in 1979.
Really?
She was in those. And I've seen pictures of him as well, of her, like, in those, like, movie, the shows.
We're watching the new version of Fantasy Island.
It's pretty good. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, in this year, she appeared in the America-thon and a roller disco comedy called Skate Town USA.
Never heard of that.
So these are, yeah, they're probably a little bit less as known. But also, too, she got the lead role in a film called Autumn Born. And this all happened in 1979. So this is a whirlwind for her, to say the least, because she was only 19 years old.
Right.
Playmate of the month. Mm-hmm. She's in all these movies. Like, it's going fast. And you have to think, too, just not long before that, she was working at Dairy Queen. So now she's got the full, grand course of Hollywood and everything around it.
Things
as well.
Are moving fast for her.
Like, you got Hugh Hefner on you. You yeah. have all this stuff
on here. You.
Oh, yeah, he's probably on her.
Probably.
And we'll get into that a little bit, too.
Oh, okay.
So we have a lot of things going on. And she must have been like coming from Dairy Queen to this must have been like mind blowing to mm-hmm. her. So during all this, Dorothy and Paul Snyder were married, but it was definitely rocky right from the get go.
You don't say. I already figured that was going to happen.
Hugh Hefner himself would warn Dorothy to sever her ties with Paul, calling him a pimp and a hustler, which he was.
He was.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I think he was just trying to say, like, you know, you got to get away from this guy. You know,
he's
bringing you down.
Yeah. And he's only has you in his life because of his benefit, not her own.
Exactly. So now at a roller disco party. Yes, I said that correctly.
What is a roller disco party?
It's exactly what it sounds like. You have a roller skates.
Yeah.
And then you play disco and it's a party.
Okay. I have to see myself drunk skating.
Yeah, there's lots of movies. Like, have you seen like those old John Travolta movies?
Oh God, yeah.
Roller disco parties. Like, yeah. I think it was Staying Alive, maybe. I don't know.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, things like that. So this is where Dorothy met Peter Bogdanovich. He was a director or something like that. He was big in the movies, mm-hmm. and he wanted her to star in one of his movies. So moving on to March 22nd, 1980. Dorothy flew to New York to work on a romantic comedy called They All Laughed. This was directed by Peter, and it was now Dorothy's fifth movie in a year. So this was unlike all of her other roles, because this was a big budget picture. And the role she was playing was an unhappy, married love interest of John Ritter.
Really?
John Ritter. So he was in this movie as well. And you know who also casted?
What?
Audrey Hepburn.
Wow, they are big names.
They are huge names. So this is her fifth movie in a year. And now she's in with John Ritter, Audrey Hepburn.
Was she on Three's Company?
No. Oh,
okay.
But yeah, that's pretty big for somebody. Like, that he just came out of Dairy Queen.
Yeah. So. Oh, when John Ritter died, that was such a sad
It moment. Was. He's a great actor. Oh,
I loved him.
Yeah. So in an interview, Peter said that the role of Dorothy was based on her marriage to Paul Snyder. And soon enough, Dorothy and Peter began an affair during the production.
An affair to remember.
It was. So, yeah. So when they first met at the roller disco, I do believe that sparks were there. So then he wanted her to star in his movie. Mm-hmm. So brought her to New York for the interest to keep going.
Isn't that how Hollywood is, though? You're married to somebody, but then you star in another movie and you fall in love with somebody on that set. And
so you thought that Paul being, what, 7-8 years older was bad?
10 years, I think.
Yeah. Well, Peter was 20.
Oh. See, but that's not unusual for Hollywood.
I know. He was 20 years older than her. And, you know, he's also kind of grooming her as well. She's 19, 20-ish at the time. That's just the way Hollywood is, though. Like, it's all this seedy stuff. Like, oh my God. Anyway, before that movie, earlier in the year, like, we're just going to go backtrack a little bit now. Dorothy was wrapping up her Playmate of the Year shoot when she was awarded. And during this time, she made a movie called Galaxina, which was great because it was close to home. So before she went to New York, she was filming a movie, Galaxina, which was close to home to her, right? So Paul's
in New York?
No, this is Hollywood. New York. Yeah, in Hollywood. Okay. She went to New York later on. We're going back. We're backtracking a little bit here. I need to backtrack, though. I just wanted to talk about that briefly.
Okay.
Now we're going to backtrack back to earlier in the year because that was in March.
Yeah.
We're going back to like January-ish. Okay. So Paul Snyder was taking on the role of Dorothy's chauffeur and acting coach. So Paul had a huge issue with jealousy, though. And he didn't take long for everybody to notice that he was getting extremely jealous of her. There were daily arguments, which added stress to the coworkers, on the Playboy like mansion and the set of Galaxina. So like he was visibly showing his jealousy. It wasn't like at home.
Yeah.
It was on set. So the coworkers were very like, you know, what do you call that? Uneasy about it. Yeah. So they didn't like that.
Walking on eggshells around them.
Yeah. So at this time though, so now fast forward not a few months, she got that role in New York now. So, you know, imagine his jealousy now when she's like going to New York.
Across the country.
But, she did not want Paul to go with him because.
So she went by herself?
She went by herself. And she said that would be a bad idea for him to go with her because how the relationship was.
Right.
And also, too, there was ulterior motives to that as well.
Well, she's also got to concentrate on her job as opposed to him just nagging and causing
And also, too, she wanted to continue that relationship with
Peter,
because I guess when they met at the Roller Disco, sparks were flying, and now she's going to New York. She did not want her husband with her because she wanted to see what was going to happen over there with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, of course you're going to be jealous when you're like, your wife's like, I'm going to go to New York, film this movie, but you are not invited.
Right. He had a right to be jealous at that point.
So you know how she convinced him to stay in Los Angeles?
No.
She said the director had closed the set to everybody but the cast and crew. So if you went, you weren't allowed to be there anyway.
But I don't think they really do that, especially if it's like your manager and stuff like that. No,
she just said that to him to stay away. It was a lie.
And it worked.
It worked. He did not go with her. So in April, Dorothy would return back to California to prepare for the upcoming Playmate of the Year publicity tour. So when you're a Playmate of the Year, like, because she was, I don't think I said that yet. Oh, here it is right here. I'm on it right now.
Okay.
So April 30th, a luncheon was held on the grounds of Playboy Mansion to announce Dorothy was the 1980 Playmate of the Year.
So she went from Playmate of the Month to the Year
to
now.
To the Year. So she was, so now she went on this tour as well, right? Because the tour is about to start for Playmate of the Year. She's very big right now. She's in 5 movies, Playmate of the Year, was Playmate of the Month. And she was literally working at Dairy Queen like 2 years before, right?
Yeah.
So this is like, she must have been like living the life.
Her head's spinning. She's trying to catch up.
Because she never grew in this life either, right? So this is all happening so fast. So, and also too, she was very beautiful. I've seen pictures of her.
Yeah.
She was, for that time, she was extremely
for
beautiful.
For that time, what does that mean?
Well, I don't know what that means.
She had the big hair, which is
She had the feathered hair.
Yeah.
She was blonde, I think. And she was very beautiful. Yeah. So you can see why people wanted to be around her.
Mm.
So Hugh Hefner said that Dorothy was from Canada and received $200,000 in cash and gifts for the title of Playmate of the Year. So she was now getting rich.
Did they give that in Canadian funds or American funds?
American.
Well, then that's good. When you come over to Canada, it's worth a lot more.
So after that party for the luncheon for the Playmate of the Year, she appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Oh.
That same night.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was, that's a big day.
Remember the Johnny Carson
shows? I do, yeah. So the next day, Dorothy started a 2-week tour in Canada, but having no events for the first weekend, she flew to New York to surprise Peter.
Okay.
So with she now has 2 men on the go. She's married and now she's with Peter. She's been on a full blown affair with Peter. Dorothy.
What was her husband's name? Paul?
Paul.
Peter and Paul?
Yeah. So Dorothy was now conflicted and decided to write Paul a letter. Mm. And she asked for more freedom in their relationship because apparently he was smothering her. We talked about that in the last episode.
We did.
But the smothering?
Yeah.
When you smother somebody, it's not going to go well.
It drives them away.
Yeah. So this would now send Paul in a tailspin, and he was, you know, jealous, controlling person, to say the least, and he did not like to lose control of his wife, and he was losing it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not like that, because she wanted to be separated, you know, further the relationship, and now she's like, this is not going well for him.
I made you.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what he thought. I made you, like, famous, and now you're cutting your ties with me. Yeah. So the last leg of the tour was in Vancouver, and this was perfect for Dorothy to relax with friends and family
right. When
it was all over, because now she's close to home. She mm-hmm. has her friends, family. This whole tailspin is like kind of like simmering down a little bit, and she's wanted to relax a little bit. But this did not end up that way, and Paul decided to show up unannounced, and he went back to his old ways and tried to make a profit from her. So he would book Dorothy to make appearances in nightclubs and pocketed all the money when she returned to New York. So while she was like in New York and thought that the money would come to her later, mm-hmm. he just pocketed it, as one does to your wife.
What a douchebag.
Oh, he was definitely a douchey.
Douche canoe.
So then that's when they also had another argument, and it heated. And Dorothy said that they should return to Canada, and she would quit acting and her career, but Paul did not agree to that. So she was willing to compromise. She's like, I'll quit everything.
Throw it all away and save their marriage.
We'll save her marriage. She'll cut her ties with Peter. We'll go back to Canada and just start all over again. Right. And he's like, he got a glimpse of the Hollywood life. And
right. He said, he wants no. the money.
But he thought he still could control her, but it was not working. But Paul then went back to Los Angeles, and he was finding it difficult to reach Dorothy because he tried phoning her and could not get a hold of her. And just a few weeks after their first wedding anniversary, he received a note saying that they were now separated. So she said that, you know what? I'm done with you. Kicked him to the curb.
I want to say yay, but I know that this is not going to end well.
This does not end well for Dorothy.
No.
So. But
because I'm thinking good for her, because she gave him an out.
Yep. And this is an abusive relationship. He was controlling her.
Oh, he was mentally abusing her.
He was mentally, yes. Not physically, probably, because I didn't read anything about physically, but mentally. He probably
doesn't want to damage the goods.
No, that's exactly right. You damage that face, that's your paycheck, right? So this would not go over well. And his response, Paul decided to empty the couple's joint bank account and sleep with an old girlfriend. So... that's what one does to move on. It
actually doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. He then started to put two and two together, though, and he was convinced that Dorothy was having an affair, like, when they were married. Mm-hmm. So he hired a private investigator, and his name was Mark Goldstein. And he wanted to find evidence of, like, her infidelity. Because mm-hmm. I think with the divorce, with her being, you know,
cheating, then he will get everything.
He get more money out of it, right?
Right.
So the problem now that he faced is that he relied on Dorothy for financial freedom because mm-hmm. he wasn't making any money. He was relying on her.
Right.
But now that they're separated, he's not making any money anymore.
He's broke now.
No. And also, too, he's living in California, right? He's in L.A. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a green card to work.
Oh, so right, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Dorothy got the green card to work because she was the one working. But he didn't get a green card because...
a work visa, I think.
A work visa, yeah. But he didn't get one because he wasn't working. She was doing all the work.
Right.
So he cannot, like, hold a job.
Right.
Because he was Canadian. So, and no green card. He
should have been deported back.
He should have been, but, you know, he's there, right? But it's not as... it's not like as... nowadays, it's harder because back then, you didn't need a passport to cross over.
No, just your driver's license.
Yeah, but now you need a passport, right? Yeah. So back then, like, I think you could probably work a little bit and... whatever, but he could find a job without a green card.
Yeah, because 20 years ago, I went to Disneyland and we just had our driver's license across the border.
Now you need a lot of stuff to get through. Like we watch the border security shows and stuff like that. Yeah.
I know he's got something in his prison pocket.
There's always something in the prison pocket.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a toy car for me.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels. So now with no money, Paul decided to sell all Dorothy's Playmate of the Year prizes. Remember, she got a bunch of prizes?
Right.
He wanted to make some quick cash. Mm-hmm. So the most notable prize was a Jaguar sports car, which he sold at a loss.
How can he sell it when it's under her name?
I don't know, but he did. He sold a lot of her stuff. Like she had like $200,000 worth of money and prizes and stuff, and he was selling all this stuff for quick cash. So on July 30th, Dorothy and Peter returned to Los Angeles after a 10-day holiday in England.
Oh, I'd love to go to England.
I know. So they were there for a nice little trip.
Yeah. Right?
And they came back and She probably didn't realize that Paul was selling all her stuff.
Nope.
No. So she had an address in Beverly Hills in a rented apartment, but secretly, she was actually moving in with Peter in his mansion in Bel Air. Up to a houseboat seven.
I was just singing that in my head.
Yeah. Everybody's probably singing that Fresh Prince theme, theme song in their head. So now July 31st, 1980, Paul was now aware of Dorothy and Peter's relationship, and he decided to hide outside his mansion with a borrowed handgun and wait for them.
Oh, yeah, because your wife is cheating. Well, she's separated from you, so she's with another guy. What are you supposed to do? Yeah,
wait outside with a handgun.
Of course, that is the next line of
action. But after several hours and no one showing up, he grew impatient and left. So he got bored and left. He did admit after this to a friend that he contemplated suicide that night. So just over a week later, on August 8th, Paul saw Dorothy at the home that once shared together, and he had hopes that she would take him back, but she confessed that she had fallen in love with Peter and wanted to finalize their separation. They would decide to meet up the following week to discuss a settlement over the finances. So now he's spinning out of control, selling other stuff. Like, it's like, what do you do now, right? So he did return that borrowed handgun to the owner, but he would spend the next 5 days trying to get another one. So he was trying to get guns.
Determined.
And he's in the States. So you can't just buy a gun either in the States. Like, when you're not from the United States, you're from Canada.
Right. You need some sort of
paperwork and stuff like that, address. And he didn't have any of that stuff.
You need to be a citizen.
You do. Yeah. So on August 9th, Paul and Mark, the private investigator, they went to a gun store. But since Paul was from Canada, he cannot buy one. He tried to get Mark to buy it for him, though. But he refused, and Paul said it was for home protection. And it was also said that he wanted a machine gun. So I want a machine gun for private home protection.
Is the purge happening?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Oh, yeah. My God.
We need a purge.
Oh,
I've said this before, previous episodes, like early on.
You want a purge. Yeah. I don't. No. There's nobody in this world I'd want to kill.
I'm not going to say anything on here. No. So I'm just going to keep moving on. On August 11th, Paul found a gun for sale at a local newspaper, but he got lost looking for the address and went home.
He's a bright one, isn't he?
Oh, he's a bright one, Mr. Grinch, or whatever. He's I got a gun, but I can't find your place. I'm just going to go home. God. It's like he went with his tail between his legs. Like
the walk of shame.
On my way home. Okay, so now we're going to go to August 14th, 1980, and now we're going to get to movie time. I know it's been a while in here. Well, it's not too long in here.
No,
it's we're going pretty fast, so movie time.
Okay, and you said this is going to be hard.
Harder for me. For you, yep.
I give up.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
All right. It's not any movie she was in either.
I don't know any porns.
No, she was in legitimate movies, right?
So, the other ones.
All right. You ready?
Right.
When Liz Blake, a prostitute, sees a mysterious woman brutally slay homemaker Kate Miller, she finds herself trapped in a dangerous situation. While the police thinks Liz is the murderer, the real killer wants to silence the crime's only witness. Only Kate's inventor son, Peter, believes Liz. Peter and Liz team up to find the real culprit, who has an unexpected means of hiding her identity and even more surprising motivation to kill.
I have no idea.
So I'll give you some cast members, okay?
Okay.
Michael Caine.
Okay.
Keith Gordon. I do believe that's the guy from... maybe that's not him. I think he's the guy from the kid, like the son from Rodney Dangerfield's the diving movie, Back to School.
Oh, okay.
Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue.
Okay.
That's Angie Dickinson. So, yeah. It's a tough one.
I don't know it at all.
The movie is... Yeah, I told you it was a tough one. It was called Dressed to Kill. You might have heard of it.
Watched it.
Have you actually watched it?
Yeah. I've watched it many, many, many years ago.
I've never seen it. It was tough for me.
I couldn't even... Yeah. It's one of those ones I remember seeing. Like, I remember the title. I watched it. Do I remember what happened in it? No.
No. It's a tough one. I knew I was going to get you on that one. Okay, so you ready?
Yep.
We're on to the day, August 14th. August 14th. Did I say August? August 14th, 1980.
Okay.
Paul was able to buy a 12-gauge shotgun from a private seller in a classified ad. Friends would later say that he bought this gun because he wanted to take up hunting. Yeah, right. In Los Angeles? What are you hunting? Wabbits? Is Elmer Fudd there too?
A Waskly Rabbit.
Waskly Wabbit. So Dorothy met up with Paul at his rented home in LA to discuss the property settlement. Usually a lawyer would set up these meetings in case of any resentment, right? So, but Dorothy's decided to do this on her own because she still wanted to remain friends with Paul and that maybe being civil, it would prevent things from getting ugly.
Right.
Paul had two roommates who were not home at the time, so the couple were alone, and that's when the horrific event would now happen. By 8 p.m. that night, both the roommates returned home, and they saw Dorothy's car parked outside. They did notice that Paul's bedroom door was closed, and they assumed that they decided to get back together. And they want a little privacy, right? You know,
makeup sex.
Yeah. So for the next several hours, the roommates watched TV in the living room, unaware of the scene in Paul's bedroom. That night, the private investigator, Mark, he actually was concerned about this meeting because I think he knew about the meeting, so he grew concerned about it. So he phoned the roommates to check in on Paul, to make sure he's okay. Right. So they entered the room at 11 p.m. So they've been there for about 2 hours with this scene. And yeah, this is when they discovered the bodies of both Paul and Dorothy. Each of them were nude, and both died of a single shotgun blast.
They're both dead.
Murder-suicide.
Oh, my God.
Dorothy was shot through the eye, and the beautiful face that made her famous was now unrecognizable.
Wow.
Forensics were inconclusive at the time because there was so much blood on Paul's hands. According to the police, it was determined that Dorothy was shot within an hour of her arrival at the home. Paul then committed suicide about an hour after that, after he murdered her. The reason they were both naked was that Paul sexually assaulted Dorothy before shooting her. Some believe that another assault may have been taking place after he shot her because there was bloody handprints all over her body.
So necrophilia as well.
Some believe that. It wasn't quite confirmed because they couldn't know because there's so much blood and the room was so bad.
Right.
They're only saying that because there was bloody handprints about the spots where things would have happened afterwards, on her body. So they say
you talking about him, learning about him, I feel like he would do something like that.
I think so too. Knowing that he's wanted to kill himself, he wanted to... he assaulted her before. They do believe that the assault before was 100% accurate.
Yeah.
But people worried about the one afterwards because he did wait an hour after murdering her to kill himself. Mm-hmm. And where the bloody handprints were would have been after death, places where that he would have assaulted her afterwards. So one of the roommates was named Patty Larman, who was also discovered by Paul, stated that it looked like a staged horror movie, and that a picture that never goes away, a mental picture that stuck here forever. Imagine going into that scene.
I can just imagine it.
Also, too, this is in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Two shotgun blasts and nobody calls the police?
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was like in the middle of nowhere. This is like downtown.
Right.
So the news traveled fast, and soon Peter and Hugh Hefner received the news. Hugh blamed Peter for what happened because he took another man's wife. Yeah, he used to say that.
It doesn't matter if you take somebody else's wife. It's the person who killed is at fault. It's not even her for cheating. You're the one that took her life. You're the one that's guilty.
Yep. So in turn, Peter blamed Hugh because of the CB culture in the magazine.
It's neither of their fault. It's Peter's, or it's Paul's
fault. They wanted to blame each other.
No, right? It's Paul.
So Peter did write a book 4 years after Dorothy's death, and he called it The Killing of a Unicorn. In this book, he talks about the affair with Dorothy, who was half his age, and he attacked the Playboy Empire as well. He claimed that Hugh Hefner sexually assaulted Dorothy when she was 18 years old in August of 1978. He said the assault occurred while the two were alone in a secluded area of the Playboy Mansion at the end of her first day posing for nude pictures. So
it could have been consensual.
Yes. Or it could have been that some old man who has all this power. It
could be.
So
that happens.
I mean, this is what he said that Dorothy said to him.
But that's all hearsay. You're blaming one person for something. You don't even know for sure if he, like Hugh Hefner, did anything to her. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
But is that the reason why she's dead? No.
No, it's not.
It's Paul.
He wrote a book.
Yeah.
We'll just say that. So in the book, Peter used the word seduced, but in all the manuscripts he wrote about, mm-hmm. like in the book, he used the word raped. But in the book, he used seduced.
Those are frightening words.
Oh, like, I know. So he did change this word from seduced and rape mm-hmm. because of a lawsuit that Hugh Hefner would file, like by him and his lawyers.
Yeah.
That's why they changed the word, because you can't accuse somebody of rape.
You can't.
No. So in the book, he also makes claims that Dorothy married Paul not out of love, but to block the advances of Hugh Hefner, who Peter claimed pursued Dorothy as a sexual partner after the assault. So the reason why Dorothy married Paul was because he wouldn't go after a married woman. So if she was married, this would stop his advances.
But Paul has own reasons why he married her too.
That's a pretty big step to block advances for somebody, to marry somebody. So I don't know.
I think Paul just married her because then her money is his money.
Exactly. I'm thinking that too. It's more as a, Dorothy didn't have to marry Paul. I think that's the reason why Dorothy did marry Paul, is because to stop the advances of, I can't say that word today, of Hugh Hefner. But I mean, that's a pretty big stretch. I don't know. That's just what was said in the book.
Yeah.
So he also claimed that Dorothy hated to pose nude, but only did it to pursue her acting career.
That's a possibility. That happens
I would say that would be a big one too. Yeah. I think she's from Dairy Queen, small, from Vancouver. I don't think she wanted to pose nude. I think she did it too because she was in movies now, right?
There's big actresses now that have posed nude and it propelled them.
It did, yeah. 100%.
Not Kim Kardashian. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, that sex tape did, nobody.
It did.
Nobody really knew about her before.
But that's not who I was talking about.
I know. So he also said that he was responsible for Dorothy's death because he banned Paul from the mansion just days before the murder.
Mm.
Because apparently Paul liked to spend a lot of his time in that grotto. You hear about the grotto? It's like a cave with water in it. The grotto is where all the parties were. That's where all the sex happened, I believe. So he spent a lot of time in the grotto. The orgy room. Then he got banned from the mansion just days before the murder. So I think he would have been like, I'm losing everything, right?
Yep.
So Hugh Hefner did respond to these claims. And at the time, he was 33 years old. And he used the term friendship to describe the two of them and thought himself as a father figure towards her because he was 33, she was 20, Or at the time, she was 18, right? So, and he was 33, father figure. So
he had his pick of the litter.
He did. He had a lot of playmates there.
Even, when he's like 90 years old or 80 years old, he still had the pick of the litter.
Yeah, he had lots of wives at the time or whatever. So, well, not wives, girlfriends. So he also said
that his wife was really young too.
She was, yeah, very young. She was a playmate as well. He also said that the two had taken a nude soak in the jacuzzi on the mansion's grounds, where Peter said the sexual assault happened. The jacuzzi. So Hughes said that
the breeding grounds.
Yeah. Hughes said that all they did was hug, and he denied forcing himself on her. And he also claimed that he never even made a pass on Dorothy.
I highly doubt that.
This is all after she's passed away too, right?
Yeah, I think that, of course, it's Hugh Hefner. He's going to make a pass.
Yeah.
I think he's had sex with every one of his girls.
Oh, probably. Yeah. He also suggested that the sexual interest ended in the jacuzzi after learning that she was engaged to Paul. So once he learned that she was engaged, he stopped advancing towards her. But that's also the night the sexual assault took place. So I don't know.
I think even if someone was married, I think Hugh Hefner would still
try. Yeah. So Peter kept in touch with Dorothy's family and even took on them financially. He paid for a lot of their stuff. So Peter was doing the right thing at this time.
He was.
But that wasn't all.
Oh.
6 years. Remember I told you that there's a little twist in this case? I said there's a twist at the end?
Yeah.
Right here.
Okay.
So 6 years after the passing of Dorothy, Peter married her sister, Louise. Remember she had the younger sister?
Yeah.
He groomed her when she was only 20 years old when they married. What a twist. So
what does she do now? Is she in?
I'm getting in there.
Okay.
So now he married Louise, the younger sister of Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why people think that he stayed close with the families because he was grooming. Because mm-hmm. when Dorothy passed away, Louise was only 13 years old.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
So think about that. 13, well, about 6-7 years. Yeah. So
at such a young age, he seen potential in her.
He did. And maybe he loved Dorothy so much that he saw Dorothy in her little sister. Oh,
he's just sick.
Paul paid for her private schooling and modeling.
Paul did.
Or Peter. I wrote Paul, but Peter did. And this to me is grooming at its finest.
Yep.
Paying for all of her stuff.
Yeah.
Get her modeling, get her.
Yep.
Yeah. So this would not happen today because in our day and age, grooming, after the Me Too movement, stuff like that, grooming and stuff doesn't happen. You know, these older men don't prey upon these girls anymore. There's more family interest.
I think they still do. It's just more subtle.
Maybe. But right now, after the Me Too movement, things have changed.
Things have changed.
There's a lot less of that. There's probably still out there. I'm not saying it's gone. I'm just saying that there's probably a lot less from before the Me Too to after the Me Too. So he was almost 30 years older than her. And together, they wrote and produced films and even lived together till they finally divorced 13 years later. Hugh Hefner would also use this as ammo against Peter, saying that he was grooming this young girl from the age of 13 years old, like I previously said, because it is.
Exactly. I 100% believe that he did.
Yeah. He accused Peter of having a relationship with Nellie, the mother.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And also getting Louise to get plastic surgery to look more like Dorothy.
Oh.
So Hugh said that he was sleeping with the mother of Dorothy, and now the younger sister. That's why that he was involved in this family, because he wanted a piece of all of them. That's Hollywood. Anyway.
That is so sick.
So until the stories I read, they talked about how Peter was still living with them, but these stories are a little bit older. Peter did die in 2022.
Just last year.
Yes. And he lived with Nellie and Louise until his death. He had some sort of disease as well.
He was living with Louise and then mom moved in or something?
They all lived together. Till his passing. He was older though. Obviously he's a lot older.
Yeah.
He was an old man at the time, but yeah, That's kind of the case of that. There's a few other things I got going on here, but that's pretty much the case right there. Peter passed away with no, like, nothing against him.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume that after the Me Too stuff at the time, that with him grooming and being with Dorothy at a, you know, young age, people would have said something, but nobody did. There's no other claims on him as well. It was just this. So he died without going through any of that stuff like Harvey Weinstein's going through or anything like that. So Bryan Adams released a song in 1983 called "The Best Is Yet to Come" in honor of Dorothy.
Oh.
And also the song "Californication" by the Red Hot Chili Peppers was also based on her. "Dreams of California." Yeah, yeah. That's exactly about her, right? And do you know the song "Cover Girl" by Prism?
Yeah.
That's also in memory of her as well, because she actually, there's pictures of her with Prism. She was actually friends with them.
Wow.
Yeah. So a few movies were made about her as well. The most famous one was called "The Death of a Centerfold," where Jamie Lee Curtis plays Dorothy, and it was released in 1981. Really? Yep. So yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis played the part of Dorothy. Looked pretty good. I want to see it. So Dorothy was a young, naive woman who entered Hollywood with big dreams and aspirations, all to be taken away from her from the very man that made her famous. The man who was losing his meal ticket took her life out of jealousy and revenge. And now this young star will not shine anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
And that's the case of Dorothy Stratton. How she, her small rise and fall from fame in such a short time.
Imagine if she wasn't murdered, like how big she would be right now.
Oh, she would have had, she had 5 movies in a year.
Yeah.
She was a Playmate of the Year. Like, she was rising on all from going to work one day. Mm-hmm. And the man that found her took it all away from her. So that's how they say, like, if you, you know, do this, I'll take it all away from you. Yeah. And he did. He took it. He took their lives. Sad case.
Yeah.
Because she was an up-and-comer. Like, she was in movies with John Ritter. She would have been a big movie star.
Oh, heck yeah.
She was beautiful, too. Like, you, when you see the pictures, oh, she was beautiful. So she would have had a, she would have had a long career, I think.
I know. I wanted to know what the case was because I wanted to start downloading pictures and you wouldn't give me anything.
I gave you a little bit of tidbits and I said there's a shocker at the end, and that's because he married her sister.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is...
And started doing plastic surgery to change her.
I don't know. I think he wanted to. I don't know if there was plastic surgery. Because Louise has, like, remained very silent. I haven't seen a lot on her about all this.
Have you seen pictures of her?
Yes. There's pictures of Louise.
Okay.
But, I mean, she does look a little bit different. But I don't know what he wanted to change, right? But I don't know if she even agreed to it either. Like, it's hard to, like, have plastic surgery to look like my sister. Like, I don't know. I think that's what he wanted. I think Hugh Hefner was like implying that stuff to the public. I don't know if it actually happened.
I think they were just battling against each other.
And Hugh Hefner has done interviews about Dorothy, like in the future and stuff like that. And he always said good things about her.
Yeah.
Not a lot of good things about Peter, but a lot about her. Cause you know, she was a Playmate of the Year. You know, she was a rising star. And he always said good things about her, how she could have become very big and just taken so tragically at such a young age.
I think meeting Peter was the downfall.
Well, I mean, she found love. He was older than her, but she loved him. So what can you say about that? She loved the guy, right?
Yeah.
And I think Paul was the downfall. Let's just go over there. Paul was the one that did everything.
He made the choice to take her life.
And he could have committed suicide like he said he's going to and just ended it all and had been done with it. Let her live her life. But he never did that.
Because he doesn't want her to be with Peter.
Yeah, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to do it for us today. So if you want to watch the video for this on YouTube, World's True Crime, you can find it. Yep. You can find that link on our website at worldstruecrime.com. And I think we're going to end it today right here.
Yeah, we have a busy day.
We do. All right. The world is not always as it seems.
No, it's not.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.